just a bit outside.
And welcome to another episode of Just a Bit Outside. I am Steve Ely, and along with me, as always, my co-host, Wes Cook.
Look who's back.
I know. It's only been
2-3 weeks, whatever. Yeah. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. I've been busy out here.
Yeah. Busy. Sick.
Yeah. Things happen.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Worst things could have happened.
That's true. But now we're back enjoying bevies. And a lot to cover today.
A lot. A lot of things have gone on since last show.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and start, really, because I got a little rant. As you can see, I'm decked out in all Kentucky gear for those on the stream.
I was wondering how long it was going to take you to get into that, because I had some questions for you.
I bet. Yeah, man. So, honestly, after the season ended the way it did. And I mean, I had my rant on here. At that time, I was like, Cal's got to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a few days, I'm like, okay, you can get another shot. Let's see what we get out of him. Let's go. And we got one more year. Maybe he could turn it around. And I did think maybe he could turn it around. But when he was, I guess, flirting is the best word to look for with Arkansas.
Yeah.
And the reports came out about that. I'm like, man, fuck this dude. He can go. And I was kind of all about it, because then, like, now you get coaching search, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that's fun. And you talk about the names that are out there. You know, we're talking Dan Hurley, who's won back-to-back national championships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about...
Scott Drew.
I wasn't very hype about him because he's kind of blah, but he still could recruit like him.
Yeah.
Anybody else out there.
And he gets the right kind of recruit.
He does. He does a good job.
He gets guys that stay.
I would have been good with Scott Drew.
Yeah.
It just was going to take me a little while to get there.
To get adjusted.
Exactly. So, and then there was the Billy Donovan talk, but Billy Donovan wasn't going to get into talks about a coaching gig until after his season was over. His season didn't end until, what, 2 nights ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it made things difficult with him. But, you know, you talk about these big three names, and you get all excited about it. It's like, oh, we're going to get one of these three guys. Really, I mean, I was all in with the Dan Hurley thought. I was like, dude, there's no way he turns down this money. UConn doesn't have the athletic budget. And they're kind of in limbo about where they're going to go in the future. Where are they going to be at? What kind of financial backing can they really have?
Apparently, it ain't all about money for him.
No. And, you know, no more power to him. I mean, I think we offered a ridiculous amount of money for a guy. And it was stupid for Kentucky to do that. But made sense because we are Kentucky. We're going to do what we're going to do. But it's also stupid for him to turn down that kind of amount of money. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of money that he's not going to get at UConn. I'm sorry.
He may not get that kind of money, but the dude doesn't have to go anywhere. He's going to be there 25 years.
I get it.
The NBA is
probably what is the drawback with him.
Yeah.
Is people are going to think he's going to test that. And I don't blame him. Why not?
Yeah.
Give it a go. Once you get to a certain level, let's say in the next 5 years he wins another title, what more is he going to be able to do for UConn except being a living legend? And who's to say UConn's going to be in the financial standing to be able to support a guy that's going to require a lot of funds to come in? He's gonna require the most expensive contract in basketball at some point.
He's earned it.
Yeah, of course.
He's earned it at the moment.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's stupid for him to turn down that kind of money from Kentucky. I think it's stupid for Kentucky to offer him that kind of money when you want to really evaluate things. And this will bring me to my point with Mark Pope and the hire there and why I love it. Anyways, so we'll come back and, you know, Sky Drew turned us down and okay, it was a family thing. He's rooted in Waco. Cool. Good for him, man. You know, It is what it is. Spotlight might have been a little too big. Maybe he didn't want his family in that, you know? And I get it. That's cool. That doesn't bother me. And I wasn't really lit down with Scott Drew turning us down. I was like, cool. That means Dan Hurley. That means Billy Donovan. So then they go off and apparently offer Dan Hurley this amount of money. He just turns it down. And I'm like, all right. Well, we'll get a coach in about a week and a half. You know, just I'm like, all right, that's fine. We'll wait.
We'll wait it out.
We'll wait it out, and we'll talk to Billy Donovan. Hopefully, this is the time. This the third time's a charm. He's coming. He's coming this time. We're not gonna have to worry about anything. But I had my holdups with Billy Donovan. He hadn't been in the college game in 10 years.
No,
he hasn't dealt with NIL. He doesn't have recruits that are lined up and ready to come in. He doesn't have truly. He wouldn't have a game plan for the next year. I'm cool with that. We could suffer for a year and let him get his, you know, bearings about him and go forward after that because he will be successful because he is a good coach, especially X's and O's.
Yeah, the guys, absolutely. He's good.
The guy is phenomenal when it comes to X's and O's in the game. So then the report comes out. I mean, it's immediately after the report of Dan Hurley turning things down. It's like Mark Pope is a serious candidate. I'm like, this is stupid.
I
was like, it's not him. It can't be.
I'll let you finish your rant. And I'll tell you what it reminds me about.
Okay. So I'm texting my brothers. I'm texting friends. I'm looking up stuff on message boards, on the internet, what people are saying. Everybody's in complete meltdown mode. Like, we got to settle for Mark Pope. This ain't the move. Slept on it. Next day, I start digging in. I go down the rabbit hole of like BYU, their offense. Their offense, next level, video game offense. It's fun to watch. They put up the second most amount of threes in NCAA last year.
Okay.
They shoot at a high clip. He spreads the floor. He's an excellent X's and O's guy, and it's really cool to see. Now, has he won anything to truly deserve this? Like, let's say if Mark Pope did not play at Kentucky, captain a national championship team at Kentucky,
he wouldn't be a candidate.
He ain't a candidate.
No.
But this is what I love about it, is this man knows what it takes to be a coach there. He wants to be. I mean, he would have walked to Lexington to be the coach.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I mean,
this guy gets it. Now, the only thing is, can he recruit at a high level and can he win at a high level? So that's your concern. I get that would be, that's probably going to be everybody's concern. But in terms of being able to coach, be able to understand the fan base, give the fan base what they want, he's the dude. He is it. I'm 100% bought in with Mark Pope now. I love it. And if it's like a different feel around Lexington now, and I'll tell you how. Because it feels like we've got our program back.
Feels like a weight's been lifted.
Yeah, because I get it. Calipari came in and it basically tried to make it about him. And the program was him. Without him, there was no program. But the hiring of Mark Pope and packing out Rupp Arena for a press conference.
Yeah, that's great.
22,000 people to see a press conference. You can't tell me that didn't mean that this program is back to
its
original roots. And now we're a program that's gonna continue to win. There's no doubt about it. Now, are we going to have the recruits that we did? No, that's fine. I get it. But are we gonna get a system that's in place? Are we going to recruit guys that fit that system? And are we going to fall in love with players that we get to see grow and develop again? Yes.
That is one thing you probably will see.
Oh, yeah.
My thing about Pope is what it reminded me a lot of, like going through that process as far as hiring and everything. It reminded me a lot of when Bill Guthridge stepped away at Carolina.
Yeah.
And it went like, you know, oh, let's go get Roy. Roy's our guy. Roy says no.
Yeah.
Let's go get, what's the guy's name that was coaching at South Carolina at the time? Eddie Fogler?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Who was a North Carolina guy?
Yeah.
He said no.
But they
and then it was like George Carl. Oh, it was all these guys. And they were just no, 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 no. And then they kind of just, all right, we'll give Matt Daugherty.
Daugherty wasn't bad, though. He was at Notre Dame. He was doing well. He was more proven than Mark Pope was coming in. I'll say that. He was winning at Notre Dame.
His team turned on him. He lost his locker room in college.
He did. He recruited a great. I mean, look what Roy Williams did when he came home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after Matt Daugherty left, it was the exact same guys, and he turned it around. Daugherty wasn't much on the X's and O's or really a player's coach.
Yeah.
He wasn't a guy that, you know, players looked to and said, that I will ride or die with that guy.
Yeah.
Calipari's that way. I mean, you could see it with the former players that are standing behind him. But the cool thing about this is a lot of these guys still love the University of Kentucky. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, even we go back and you get to see like all these old heads that came, you know, that were there when I was a kid. And what made me fall in love with Kentucky basketball was like when I saw Tony Delk. And I mean, I've seen Jeff Shepard all year because his son played there. Mm-hmm. But I saw Prickett. I saw, I said Tony Delk already. Who else was there? I saw Derek Anderson. You see just guys from these old teams. They were there in support of Pope. And it's like, it's, I mean, even people like Rick Pitino again, after his comments and backing Mark Pope and all this stuff, it's like, all right, we forgive you, Rick Pitino. You can come back into the fold with us. The slate's clean now, almost.
Pitino did some good stuff for you guys.
Oh, he did. Now, I mean, I love the guy, but he went and coached Louisville. And like, honestly, that's...
Well, he went to the NBA like, and then came back to Louisville.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's like Coach K going to coach Lakers and come back and being the heels coach. You know? Like who?
Never happened.
Duke fans would despise him forever, despite of what greatness he brought the program. I think, but with time, it heals all wounds. And I think going through the Calipari era, and it was great for a good 10 years. But the last five are subpar. They're not to Kentucky standards. And if you go back and read Calipari's book and talking about, like, even his introductory press conference and all this, he talks about, like, what the standard at Kentucky is. And he lost that focus. He lost what he was talking about at the beginning.
He got
complacent. Well, and watch. He'll go to Arkansas. He'll be rejuvenated for about 3 years. He'll run off a couple of good runs. He'll probably get a Sweet 16, Elite Eight. Hell, he may even get a Final Four run.
I think they're going to end up with the same issue.
They'll run into it because he's so adamant of running that same damn system. He changes offense a little bit, but he'll still play man-to-man defense. He won't go zone. And he's bringing the whole same coaching staff with him. The same coaching staff that everybody in Lexington's already been talking about being lazy and not working.
Well, the thing, what he's going to have in Arkansas, which I'm glad for you, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've never really been a Calipari guy, mm-hmm. ever.
I mean, on the pod, you say it all the time.
Yeah, I've never been.
No, I fought for Calipari forever, and I'll still fight for him. I respect Cal, and I appreciate what he did, and he brought us our eighth national title.
Yeah, but he also did, he brought in the mindset of, and I think it's been more prominent over the last few years of. It's not about winning games at Kentucky.
No.
It's getting you to the NBA.
Right.
Getting you to the NBA.
He's a player's first coach, but he forgets what he's paid for, and that's to win basketball.
That's to win basketball in college.
Yes. Yeah. And that's he was so focused on the player aspect of everything, he lost the focus of what he's being paid for.
Yeah.
And what Kentucky basketball is about. Kentucky basketball has this rich history that's matched by very few, if any. And there's a reason there's a handful of blue bloods. They win consistently throughout history with a number of coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what does it. That's what this basketball team is about. This whole program, it's about the consistency.
Yeah.
And it goes the same with Carolina. They've won with multiple head coaches. Not necessarily Duke, but they have the history.
The K era was dominant.
Yeah, it was
and
dominant.
Shire yes. looks.
He looks the part so far. Yeah. Although it is kind of crazy what you're seeing there this year. That's another topic we can talk about. But they got seven guys that jumped in the portal. And that's a hell of a lot of guys to lose.
Dude, I'm looking at like Duke. I mean, Carolina's got guys that jumped in the portal and are declaring. And I'm just like.
But only a few. Not. And I don't even look at declaring as being a big deal because guys can test the waters.
They can declare all they want now.
So that's fine. But let's say Kansas is one with multiple head coaches. You've got UConn with multiple head coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, UCLA. Kevin Ollie was a blip, but he still won one, and that's the coach that won one.
Yeah.
So
he fell into one.
He did. Yeah, fortunate. I mean, it
and fell into one, and then I think he Kentucky won like 12 games, and they're like, you got to go.
I mean, he took one from Kentucky, really. That's what sucks. And Calipari. Calipari would have two national titles. So look, now Dan Hurley has more national titles than Calipari.
Well,
or Izzo, or Bill Self.
Yeah.
No, Bill Self got two now.
I just think I like the Calipari's gone. He's not really gone. He's just in another place. His NIL money in Arkansas is going to be stupid.
It's not. No, it's not. And you want to know why?
How's it not?
How has it not been stupid for football for years? And Arkansas is a football school.
Man.
No, tell me. Tell me. If the NIL...
Arkansas is a football school, but they're not competing... They're not going to compete with Alabama. They're not going to compete with Georgia.
So they're
not competing with LSU.
Completely on basketball and just give all this money to NIL when the fan base supports the football team.
The
fan base wants that football team to be more successful than the basketball team any day of the week.
The thing about it that got me about the whole the reason they're bringing Cal in, you've heard from like some of the boosters. You know, you've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we want to win championships. And I'm sitting here thinking, you just hired a guy that has came out and said that he's not worried about championships. It's about getting his guys the next level.
Right.
And he said it.
He has. He's always
said it. And I'm like, that's the guy you're trying to win championships?
The draft, he said, was the greatest day in Kentucky basketball history. And everybody was like, excuse me, sir?
Everybody left.
Yeah. No, this is not a good day for us. No, are we going to support those guys when they get
absolutely.
To the NBA? Oh, yeah, we do. We love them. I mean, John Wall is probably top three player of my lifetime in my fandom.
Yeah.
Jamal Mashburn is probably my favorite.
I got to see a lot of Jamal.
I love Jamal.
Jamal Mashburn. Was pretty, was nice.
Yeah, the Monster Mash was the dude. He's probably what drew me in.
There was a...
And then when Patino just kept escalating his success and that it was, I got sucked in during that time.
That era of college basketball to me was great.
It was the best.
Like that, it was that late 80s, early 90s.
Mid 90s. All the way to 2000 pretty much.
Yeah, it was really great. Solid.
But that was when college basketball was college basketball.
When you had guys
stayed for 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Guys didn't transfer.
Nope.
And now it is different. It's a different era. But at the same time, you still have guys like us that have watched it for so long. Like, we're not going to quit supporting it or quit.
No, I'm not going to quit watching it.
Yeah.
Does it hurt my feelings?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But I'm not going to quit watching it. I mean,
No.
There was a time in my life, college basketball was more important to me than the NFL or college football ever was.
Yeah.
Ever was. Like, I mean, I watched. Don't get me wrong.
We're talking about that time, though.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. And it's still very high up on my list.
The Eagles sucking during that time probably contributed a lot to that for me. But
But that was what I did. I was all college basketball. Like, I was that guy that watched the West Coast. You remember when it used to be Big Mondays on ESPN? I was the guy that was up at 12:30 watching that West Coast game.
Yeah.
Like, I did, religiously. Like,
I would watch a lot more than I do now. I do like watching a lot of these games just because you get so much more than what you normally would now. In comparison to those times,
you have
just a plethora of games, and you can watch these random teams play that you would never normally get to see play.
Well, with like ESPN Plus and like the Fox Sports app and all of that stuff, you can watch just about anybody you want to see.
Yeah, like where would I have seen BYU clips that I could go down a rabbit hole of like finding out about Mark Pope's offense? Yeah. At that time, never. I would have never seen it.
Yeah.
Now I got the internet that's got clip upon clip upon clip, and I could just go through, and it's like I got in it for like 2 hours just watching shit.
You got that stuff like that, you know, the ability. I mean, look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Look at Kareem Jabbar. You know, Milk Chamberlain.
Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah. He just followed his coach to St. Louis.
Yeah, I saw that. But I mean, back in the day, you didn't see those guys unless you got lucky.
Speaking of guys following, Cal basically promised Arkansas he's bringing his recruiting class with him. He's got one guy on his roster next year.
Yeah, I loved his press conference. I talked to the team. There is no team.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but I'm telling you, like, he had a guy transfer from Kentucky to him. That was Big Z.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I get it. You know, a lot of these guys do come to play for their coach. I mean, especially when it comes to Calipari, because he's a salesman.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a salesman. I mean, he sells his product to not only the players, but the fans. But when you get 5 years of less than mediocrity, the fan base is going to turn on you, especially Carolina or Kansas. These you'll get turned on.
I wouldn't call it less than mediocrity. I mean, they're still 20-something win teams. They're just not making it in the tournament where it matters.
It's less than mediocrity when you play in a conference that you've dominated for years, and you promised us you're coming in to win.
Yeah. And now you're not even – it's not about winning to him. Or it wasn't.
No. When you lose in the first round of the SEC tournament and then in the NCAA tournament, like – the thing is, it's a home game when you play it in the SEC tournament in Nashville. That's a home game for you.
Yeah.
You know how many more Kentucky fans are in that building than any other team?
Well, Kentucky fans travel regardless.
Well, yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you can't say it's not because you don't have an advantage. And you need to win for the people that take their time, hard-earned money to go out there. You need to put a product on the floor that's going to give them the weekend experience they're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we were to lose, you know, early, you know, once in every 5 years, okay, those things
happen. What happened?
Yeah.
It happens.
That happens. But when you're losing that early consistently over the last 5 years, no one wants to believe your bullshit anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
We're
with
done.
You. I mean,
you're gone. And the thing is, you're gone, and the people are happy about it. Now, were we worried about it with the announcement of Mark Pope early? Yeah. And we're like, oh, shit, we should have kept Cal. But, I mean, seriously, about 24 hours was the turnaround for this fan base, and everybody was on board. Everybody was ready for the change, and we got the program back. It's not the University of Calipari anymore. It's not the University of bullshit salesman tactics anymore. It's not, you know, a program that was basically, it seemed like it was taken away from the fans, where the fans are what has made this.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like it's been ripped away from us, and it feels like we got it back. It's weird. It's a weird feeling, but it does. It feels like Kentucky basketball is back in the fans' hands and not in Calipari's hands.
I hope so.
Yeah,
but
now listen. I could very well see
you guys take a giant step back next year.
Depending,
depending on how many of the recruits don't come. You guys had a bunch of guys declare.
Yeah.
Guys entering the portal. Like, I don't even know how many guys you got left on your roster at the moment.
We have three guys that are signed, sealed, and delivered for next year. So,
yeah.
Hey, this is the thing. Are there going to be growing pains to this?
Absolutely.
Sure. Are we going to, I bet you Cal whoops our ass next year. Okay, cool. That's fine, man. Guess what? We coming for you because we know we're going to get better. And with the NI, the thing is the day we signed Mark Pope, $4 million in NIL money, more than any school put into NIL last year for basketball, we had it.
Arkansas is going to throw more this year. Wait and see.
I don't think so.
Right.
Why haven't they before? Why haven't they? They had Musselman. Musselman was an excellent recruiter, and Musselman was a great X's and O's guy.
That's why he's at UCLA. Where'd he go? UCLA?
USC, right?
Was it USC?
I think it was USC, wasn't it? Yeah. No, it's not UCLA. Mick Cronin's there.
All right. Well, I'm just... Man, I don't know.
I'm just saying,
They're going to throw a ton of money out there, bro.
I think it's all bullshit because they said he was going to get $5 million, and they said, no, we have an idea of how to get $5 million.
Oh, they've got a huge idea. They've got the Tyson fortune.
Yeah, that's what brought Cal in was his relationship with the Tyson family.
They got Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones ain't going to put up. Why hasn't he backed anything before? Why all of a sudden now? Because it's Calipari?
Yeah.
What, is he going to come in and sell it to Jerry Jones?
They got the Walton fortune.
Walton does not give that much money. Not to sports.
They give
to the university. No, I promise you. It's not going to happen the way everybody thinks it's going to happen.
It may not last very long, but it'll happen for a couple of years.
Okay. All right. So a couple of years. You're going to give a bunch of money to the recruits that you probably were going to get anyway. And then be let down in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
That's exactly what I think is going to happen.
I mean, that's...
That's exactly what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be status quo for Calipari. He's going to get some guys drafted, and...
Here's the telltale sign, too. He goes off to Arkansas and hires his son. Son's not proven. What's his son done?
Nothing.
Yeah, like that's your change to the coaching staff, dude? Like, come on, man. Be better. Be better. Like, you need a complete overhaul of your coaching staff, and you're still riding with these guys. These turds, really. I mean, Shin Coleman didn't do nothing.
Those guys, man, I don't know. I'm glad Kerry Parker and Orlando
Antigua, his ride or die dude for the last, since the beginning, really, to be honest with you, went back to Illinois instead of following him to Arkansas. And it's going to be a harder sell to get a kid to go play at Fayetteville, Arkansas, than it would be Lexington, Kentucky. Lexington, Kentucky is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It is an awesome place. I'm not saying that because I'm from there. It is. I took my girlfriend up there this weekend, and, you know, she just loved the look of it. It was a beautiful town. And you know, she had never been there before. So. Yeah. That lets you know, like, other people appreciate it when you come in. You tell me, what's in Fayetteville, Arkansas? Walmarts?
Not a damn thing.
Yeah. You got the Arkansas campus.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I will give Arkansas this. They have a diehard fan base.
They do.
So they have that going for them, and I respect that as a Kentucky fan because we have the same thing.
Dude, they want what the Arkansas fans want basketball wise. They want that 40 minutes of hell back. That's what they want. That's when Arkansas basketball was Arkansas basketball to me.
That was the only time it was Arkansas basketball.
The Todd Day, the Lee Mayberry, Oliver Miller years.
Corliss Williams.
Yes, bro. Yes. Hell, I might have watched.
I get it, but you're not going to get that with Calipari. He won't do that. He has a system he's going to run.
And it sucks.
I mean, I've witnessed it for the last 5 years. It sucks because it hasn't adapted. His offense was great this year. It was.
Was his offense great, or was his players running his offense great?
Well, I'm sure the players running it definitely helped in that aspect. I mean, But the thing is, he has how much NBA talent is on that roster?
Oh, I know.
And you're going to lose to Oakland? Not Oakland, California, mind you.
Oakland, Michigan. Like, I get it.
Nah.
Dude, I know. I know how hot you were, bro. You had like a 30-minute rant on here about that loss.
I know. I mean, getting to 30 minutes now, but it's not been really
No, bad. But this is a different thing.
This is the whole college basketball, like, offseason so far. We've talked about more than just the Cal moving.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But I have high – I'm not going to say high expectations for Mark Pope because that's not fair. But I have a lot of hope –
for the future.
For the future of Kentucky basketball, be going in the right direction and with a guy who gets it. Because if there's not a bigger Kentucky fan than Mark Pope. Mark Pope, I mean, did you watch any of his press conferences?
I got to just see snippets of it.
Dude, he got like all these digs at Cal and shit. It was funny. That's it was awesome. Good. But he gets it. He's part of the fan base. So that means so much. Having a coach in place that's basically, if it's me taking the sidelines.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. That it's like, I'm going to care when we win or lose as much as that guy is. And I appreciate that so much more because I know Cal Perry went home and didn't give two fucks about what happened.
No, bro. Because all my players have made billions of dollars in the NFL or the NBA.
Yeah, and that's what mattered to them.
Well, I mean, that's when you're getting paid to coach college basketball, that shouldn't be what matters. I mean, it could be part of it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're getting paid to win college basketball games. That's your job.
Well, that's it. And you're making $10 million a year. You're the highest paid coach in college basketball. You should be winning like you're the highest paid.
Well, look at it this way. You guys didn't have to pay him an exit fee for firing him.
No, thank God. Thank God. Because that contract was stupid. That was even another benefit of it is we got out from having to pay him $33 million to walk out the door.
Yeah.
So that worked out well.
I mean, I don't blame coaches for putting those kind of clauses in their contract and stuff. I don't blame it.
I mean, but I think ultimately, and you know, it's just a guess or a thought. I don't even think Cal wanted to go to Arkansas.
Well, I saw something the other day.
He was trying to gain some leverage back from the fan base to be like, look, there's other people that want me. And the athletics department and the fan base were like, go. See ya.
That's what I saw. I saw that there was a report or something that Calipari gave them an opportunity to match the offer.
And they said
They declined it.
But the thing is, he's making less money than we were offered. Or he was being paid. He's getting paid less than he was last year. That's crazy.
I think he was bored. I think he was ready for something else.
I don't think he was bored. I think he got complacent. That's what it was. But Mark Pope is the future of Kentucky basketball. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited for college basketball just in the future. Anyway, because I would like to see the uprise of all these new coaches and everybody that's coming in to newer roles and kind of maneuvering everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I think part of what pisses me off with the whole Cal thing is he stayed in the fucking conference. And that's really kind of like, this asshole.
Come on, bro. You know you want to go to that game. You know you want to go.
I'll be no, that ticket's going to be hard to get.
Oh, I guarantee it.
That ticket's going to be impossible.
That ticket just went through the roof.
Yeah. No, that ticket, they come to Rupp Arena next year.
Yeah, that's the Carolina Duke kid, Cameron. Like, I want to go to one of those games so bad, but I'm not paying $1,000.
No, you got to get a buddy that's got tickets or student tickets or something like that. That's how I got to go to one.
I mean, I'm not paying $1,000 for a game. Unless I win the lottery or something. Yeah. Then I'm going to every game I want to.
Some random dude's, he was a friend of a friend of a friend's ID to go because he couldn't go to the game. And boom, that's what got me in.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not a Duke fan at all, but that just environment, it's just.
No, it's crazy. I respect the hell out of it. But the thing is you can have that kind of environment when you don't have the big donors like Carolina has or Kentucky has, or even Kansas, because Kansas doesn't put all their students around. Yeah. It's the same thing. When you have these big established universities that have been around forever, and the big donors are the ones that get those seats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how that goes.
I like how they do it. I love how they do it.
Who? Duke?
Duke, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you're not going to get that at a school like Carolina or Kentucky Kansas. You never. Just won't. It's not going to happen that way because the money is what's is in those seats.
Yeah.
You know, I think schools like Carolina and Kentucky are fortunate just to have the end zone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the Carolina and Kentucky aren't going to sell out anyway.
No, they are. They're going to put butts in the seats and people are coming to see it. Yeah. But the atmosphere is unparalleled. Yeah.
I mean,
there's not another atmosphere like Duke's.
I've been in a couple of games at Chapel Hill. And like, I never got to see him really play anyway. I think I got to see him play Richmond and somebody else. I can't remember who it is right offhand. May have been a little intoxicated at that game. So
why not? That's the whole point, right? But no, the future of just college basketball should be fun to see the direction it takes now. I mean, because you do see a change of kind of like where recruiting is going to go, what direction it will.
A lot of stuff is going to change over the next couple of years. The NIL, no one really knows how that's going.
That's going to affect everything. Where are these?
That's why you're seeing these old heads get out of it.
Well, yeah, because it's not what they're used to. I mean, I guarantee you that's why Nick Saban didn't stick around 100%.
Anymore. 100%.
He's like, oh, man, it's too much of a headache. I'm already a Hall of Fame coach. I'm out.
Nah. Yeah. I mean, Nick Saban likes to be in charge.
Yeah.
And his recruiting ploy is, hey, you come to Alabama, you're going to win championships.
And
if you want to be good.
And I will increase your chances of getting in the league.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between a Saban and a Calipari. Saban still wanted to win.
Oh, absolutely.
Saban cared about winning. More than anything else, Saban cared about winning.
That's it.
Calipari's like, I'm just going to make you a bunch of money. And you know what? That's good and great. And that's probably why his guys are so loyal to him.
Yeah, because helped them get a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the respect for Saban is even higher.
Because absolutely.
Of what he does for those kids.
I respect.
Overall.
I personally respect Saban.
He helps them get better, and I don't know. I just feel like those guys are just more established men overall.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from Kentucky guys, and when they get to the league or whatnot, they're still great people. They come back to Lexington. They will, do so much for the community and in the communities they play in, for that matter.
Yeah.
And Calipari did a lot of that good stuff for Lexington and going to Haiti and Eastern Kentucky and all these other places where natural disasters happened. I'm not trying to take that away from those guys because they do great humanitarian work. But I bet you the respect level from an former Alabama player for Nick Saban is greater than the respect level for a former Kentucky player in Cal.
Yeah. Saban just needs to work on his players' driving skills.
Yeah. Well, are you getting it rugs? Is that?
That was a little dig. A little dig. He's had a couple of players getting in a little bit of trouble once they got to the league. A little bit.
I think that happens everywhere. I mean, Georgia's had it.
Florida's had it.
Florida likes the murders.
I remember when Meyer were there. There was a year that there was one year where Florida had like 37 players arrested.
That wouldn't surprise me. Well, there was one year, Riley Cooper, Aaron Hernandez, and Tim Tebow were all on the same team.
Yeah. And how you have that team?
That's a weird combination of dudes, man.
Man.
All right. So we're going down a rabbit hole here of other stuff. But we'll move on from college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this week is one of our favorite weeks.
It is one of our favorite weeks.
Thursday is
NFL draft day.
Yes, sir.
And I am stoked.
I am super excited. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I know I always say that when it comes to sports, but the NFL draft is So awesome.
It's because we get back to our like roots, to be honest. Like, we love college basketball and stuff, but
I think that, I mean, between college basketball and NFL, yeah, these are the top two. But I mean, NFL, it outranks them all by a large margin.
Right now for me, it's NFL, college football, college basketball in that order.
Yeah. College basketball probably for second around for me, but college football is a very close second.
Yeah.
Very, very close second. Like, I mean, it's stupid. Like, I give a shit about recruiting in football for Kentucky right now. Well, I haven't ever done that.
Well, my team always sucks in college football anyway.
They don't.
I don't say, I'm not going to say suck, but they like, I don't, but at the same time,
they
like,
are Kentucky. It's the exact, we've talked about this before. Carolina and Kentucky football are the same.
Yeah.
They'll get good for a couple, like a year here or a year there, or have really high expectations and then shit on them. And then it's like, oh.
I never expect them to win a national championship.
No, no, I don't expect it to happen. I love it to happen? Oh, sure. But here's where I am at this level of college basketball fandom and college football fandom. If you told me that I could have one or the other and give me a college basketball national title every day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'd much rather have it.
I'd rather have it.
But that's probably because my football team doesn't have that kind of history with it.
I'm with you.
Now, if it's a one-off thing, like, yeah, give me the college football title because like might be the only one I would ever witness. And I've witnessed 3 national titles in my lifetime.
I've witnessed 4.
Wow. Nice. Witnessed 3. I witnessed 96, 98, 2012.
I've been all the way back since 82.
Yeah.
I watched that game.
Well, a little kid. Kentucky didn't win in the 80s.
Oh, man.
And I wasn't alive in 78.
Yeah.
And that was the last title before 96. So.
But no, like the football, like they'll never win. And I swear to God, every time Carolina's preseason ranked in the top 10, they just immediately shit themselves. Every time.
No, it's Kentucky's that way.
Every time, bro.
I told you, like, what was it? 2000, it was like 2005, 6, 7-ish, right in there. We beat LSU. They're number one team in the nation.
Oh, I remember that.
I think it was the year they won the national title. Kentucky beat them in triple overtime. I was at the game. I'd be able to tell you a lot quicker because I have a like panoramic of the very last down of that game in my office at work. And, God, I have the ticket stub in it and everything. It's sick. But we won that game, and we were ranked like number 8 or 9 in the nation after that game.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Yep.
Mississippi State comes to Lexington the very next week.
Beats the brakes off.
Yep.
Beats the brakes off.
It's like, what a fucking letdown.
Dude, I get it. Man, yeah. A couple of years ago, Sam Howell's last year, preseason, Carolina's ranked 8th or 9th.
They're high as hell.
And they play a down Virginia Tech team, and just get destroyed.
But we talked about that, too. You're like, this is stupid. He's like, we're going to blow this. Yeah. You're like, we're not a top 10 team.
No, I knew. I knew. And it just, God, it drives me crazy. But I'm like you. I'm taking basketball championships all day long. Would I love to see a football championship? Absolutely. Is it ever going to happen? Hell no.
Very unlikely here.
Less than a 1% chance ever.
No, I mean, I get it. I think it's just because when you talk about these types of programs, you're talking about chasing history and getting closer to being the all-time leader in titles.
Yeah.
Like, so Kentucky has 8 national titles. So they're 3 behind UCLA.
Yeah.
So they're the second most in college basketball history. So you're like, I need to get closer to that 11.
Yeah.
More so than I'll ever get near Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alabama's got that on lock forever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. I mean, would it be nice to have one? Sure.
It'd be great to have one.
I'll take one. I mean, Kentucky kind of has one from 1960.
Is it one of those we're claiming one?
Yeah, it's unofficial. It's not a UCF scenario, though. I mean, they were But when you went by the coaches poll back in the day, Oklahoma was the national title or the national champion, I think. But Kentucky beat them in the bowl game that year. But it wasn't the way they played it back then.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. Like, well, I mean, it's then, something we could research, but I'm like,
well, back then they didn't count bowl games towards your stats and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. They declared a national championship before the bowl game, I think.
Yeah.
We're or like, a national champion, not national championship.
Yeah. Like freaking, you know, if you look at Barry Sanders last year in college, he had 2,600 yards before his bowl game.
Stupid.
And in the bowl game, I want to think he ran for almost 300. And another, like, five scores or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Like, God, you just ruined, like, just ridiculous. But, yeah, I would love to have a championship. I think the closest Carolina ever got, was it the Julius Pepper year where they went, like, was it 10-1 or 11-1? Finished ranked, I think, third or fourth in the country.
Yeah, they were high.
They were good. And that was the year they beat Florida State 45-3. Mm. That was the first time they beat them. Hell, it still may be the only time they beat them. But I was watching that game.
Yeah.
The score was 3-0 Carolina. I think it was 3-0 Carolina. Might have been 3-0 Florida State. My girlfriend I was dating at the time comes in there, turns the TV, puts it on Grease. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, you know they're going to lose anyway. I'm just saving you some heartache. And then I'm like, yeah.
It was 1950 when Kentucky won the national title.
I was semi, you know, I was pondering in my head, okay, you're probably right. Me not watching is probably going to add less stress to my day. Nah, man. I checked the score later and saw they won 45-3, and I'm like, what? This is what I missed? For Greece?
For Greece.
Yeah. But whatever. Anyway, where are we going next? I can't go down that rabbit hole.
But I just want to establish, Kentucky claims 1951 as the national championship.
Because they beat them.
Right. So Oklahoma was undefeated going into the Sugar Bowl that year.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky was 9-1 going into, or 10-1 going into the Sugar Bowl that year. It was considered they declared a national champion before bowl games.
Yep.
So there wasn't really a national championship bowl then.
That was just how it was done.
So that's how it was done. There wasn't an AP poll that came out after the fact.
Yeah.
So Kentucky was, since they beat the AP poll champion, they can declare that as a national championship in 1950.
Well, they had like who was it? Georgia Tech and Colorado split a championship in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
USC or UCF semi-claimed one.
The bowl games counted then.
Yeah. They semi-claimed one.
Yeah.
They should have been in that, and they should have got their shot. I still feel bad for that UCF team.
No, they should have gotten a shot. I agree. Especially when you see the other teams that are in there.
Well, when they rolled in there and then they beat the brakes off Auburn, like they didn't even, like, they
had a point to prove for sure.
And they proved it.
They did. No, they beat the brakes off of them.
Beat the brakes off of them. Scott Frost should have stayed there.
Yeah.
Should have stayed there.
Is he coaching now? I know he's not at Nebraska anymore, he's
probably
obviously.
Probably somewhere coaching.
Yeah.
He's not a bad coach.
Nah, but the money talks.
No, wins talk. And Nebraska ain't been good since Bo Pelini was there.
Exactly.
And they fired him for winning 9-10 games every year.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, this isn't enough. We need a national title.
And I get it. I get the fan base. But at the same time, like,
but I mean,
Nebraska used to be in the 70s and 80s. You were catching Nebraska every week on TV.
Yeah, of course.
And that was Nebraska, Notre Dame.
Maybe Alabama. Bama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else was big then?
Oklahoma, maybe.
Oklahoma, Texas.
I don't think any, maybe USC a little bit.
Yeah, you probably got some USC.
On the West Coast, that was probably their thing.
But yeah, it was definitely, it was very Southeast dominated.
Yeah, and like.
And Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah.
Michigan.
It depends on the region, but there was like.
And how good they were that year.
Yeah, and the, yeah. But there were certain teams you were going to see.
Who was going to watch it is what mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, you know, Nebraska ain't that team anymore. I mean, is Matt Rhule going to do a good job there? He probably will. He probably will. He's a decent college coach.
If there's a guy that's going to turn around, I think it would be him. I mean, he was so successful at Baylor. Like, and to do that at Baylor, I mean, when you're, what, the fifth best school in the state of Texas?
Well, he did that. He was he the one that turned Baylor around from, like, all the trouble?
Yeah, from all the – after the dude died or something like that, right?
The, or was it – no, it wasn't the died stuff. Was that when, like, all, like, the
– oh, the sexual harassment stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. But yeah. I think he had a dude – there was somebody that died too, during camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was a lot of shit going down at Baylor, and he turned it around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, I mean, I think Matt Rhule will be fine there.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it helps when you go out and get, like, what, the number one or number two quarterback recruit.
That helps.
That helps, that helps a lot.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, we're way off the NFL draft right now.
Yeah, we're way off. Sorry.
All right. So what do you think is going to happen come Thursday night? First round, big talks of everything happening right now. Quarterbacks galore this year. We're talking probably five on day one, right?
It's going to be, I think, very potentially it could
four
be
to five. Four to five.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's a definite that four guys are coming off the board, and four of them might come off the board before pick 10.
Four of them might come off the board before pick five.
Yeah, you're right.
If you want to be honest.
Well, when you're talking about guys that are talking about trading up and doing these types of things, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe it might happen. It might happen.
If you're going to trade up, you've got to trade up in front of the Giants.
Oh, that's, they're gonna. That's where you have with to Daniel go. Jones. All the reports are Daniel Jones is done.
Well, they're on the hook for him at least doesn't one matter. More year.
They're gonna pay. They're gonna do that same shit the Eagles did with Wentz. I mean, you made the payment, and then you're like, oh crap, this ain't gonna work.
Well, they've got to. They can't get out of it till after this year,
right?
So I mean, they're on the hook this year regardless.
And well, they're gonna have a huge. Dead money hit the next year too. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You can get out of it, but it's still gonna be.
Here's the sad part ridiculous. About the Daniel Jones thing, and I'm not saying he's a good quarterback by no means.
He would have been better off in a different system.
They have shit on him in every way, shape, and form. If you accept,
who was the best wide receiver he got to throw to?
Sterling Shepard.
Or yeah, I said Sharp. Sterling Shepard. Yeah, That's my boy, by the way. I bet he wish he got Sterling.
Yeah,
Sharp
for real.
To throw to.
For real. But no, Sterling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Did he ever throw to OBJ?
Nope.
I don't think he did.
No. Waller would have been okay if he was ever healthy.
He can't stay healthy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you take.
And that would only have been one year.
Literally, their weapons, including Saquon, have never been healthy.
No.
Never.
No.
I mean, what do you want? Their offensive line is garbage.
It's always been garbage,
dude.
Well, I will say this though: they do draft them. They just draft bad.
They're terrible.
They don't know how to evaluate an offensive line.
No, they do not. They are bad, bad, bad.
And I think that's the problem. I think what you need to do.
I mean, you saw it last year. What immediately in the Cowboys game? How many times did Daniel Jones get sacked?
Yeah, it was.
How many
ridiculous.
Times did he get hit?
Dude, it was bad. It's bad, bad.
Yeah. I mean, when a dude ain't got but a second to throw the ball.
Yeah.
It's not on the dude. But at the same time, do I think he's a great quarterback? No. But at the same time, he hadn't.
Could he be better? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen flashes.
He has the ability to be better. He just needs help around him. I just don't think New York has done him any favors with what they've done with in terms of drafting and in terms of going out and finding good pieces in free agency form. There's not a clear cut number one or two receiver on that team.
No, No. And if you're telling me the Giants want to draft a quarterback at six,
don't.
Instead of one of these wide receivers,
trade back.
They're
trade
crazy.
Back. Trade back. You go
trade
ahead,
back. Get a wide receiver.
Get a wide receiver.
Get another offensive lineman.
Then another offensive lineman. And then take that first round pick. You're gonna because you're gonna get another one.
Yeah,
you're getting at least another one.
Well, a lot of talk.
And then invest in a wide receiver next year.
A lot of people are talking that the team trying to posture the most to make a move up is Minnesota by getting that second first round pick this year. Because you can literally offer, hey, I've got two in the first round
year. You can take both of these, but I want to be up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're going to probably give up one next year.
Yeah. Maybe a second or a third next year. Maybe
to get in the top five. You're coming off three first rounders. That's
if
the
it's
going,
three first
that's
rounds.
The go, that's the goal.
Yeah, but you
got
to think the one is in like 25th or 26th. That's not a. I mean, it's still a first round pick. Don't get me wrong.
But that's why it's three first rounders.
That's
been the going rate to trade up into the top five.
It's not worth it.
No. Have you ever seen a team that's made that trade and then it work out for them?
No. No one has ever. It's never worked out for anybody.
Does it? It doesn't work out. It's been proven over history.
I think the only team to ever move, the only team to make any kind of move up like that, that you could say in my lifetime that I can remember it semi working out, was Atlanta trading up to get Mike Vick. It's semi worked out.
You're right.
Semi. Other than that, I don't remember. I mean, Trey Lance didn't work.
Nope.
Mitch Trubisky didn't work.
No.
Which I don't even know why the hell they traded up. They went from three to two.
And they probably got bluffed and said, hey, we got this on deck. You got to come better. Otherwise, we're going to make this trade.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't, in hindsight, it doesn't work. It just doesn't.
It hasn't. I mean, why would you not go with what's proven?
I mean,
here's what's proven. And I mean, you and me as the average fan, I wouldn't say average fan, but you know, as diehard fans could go to a front office with factual shit and put it in front of them like this and say, it's always better to trade back than it is to trade up.
Yeah.
Look at Carolina. They're fucked.
Yeah. They are.
Unless Bryce Young makes some drastic change.
They're screwed for the unless well
two
I will,
three
I,
three years at
they
least.
Are trying to make they trying to do certain things, but they still need to get better at offensive line. Yeah, they still need to get better at offensive line. They still need weapons. They still need things. I don't think you know. I didn't want Bryce Young to begin with. I thought that was a terrible pick. I would have never traded up from where they were to draft Bryce Young. Like I just wouldn't have done it. I mean, you got to have a guy that you really think is generational to do it. And even then, you got to hope.
Dude, no. They messed up.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
But here's the problem. They wouldn't have been the only team that would have taken Bryce Young.
No.
It's not like...
Not first overall, though. I think most people wanted C.J. Stroud. But once word got out that Bryce Young was the one, no one was like, oh...
I got a draft question to ask you.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Anthony Richardson and Joe Milton? Ooh. What's the difference?
Well, you can't say success at the last level because it's basically.
Similar. Aren't they the same guy?
Yeah.
Explain to me how Anthony Richardson was the number four pick in last year's draft, and Joe Milton may not even get drafted. And if he does, he's going to be a late day three draft pick.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's a guy that's. That's a good.
Like they're the same dude, right?
What? Yeah, they're both what six
big,
and, six
big guys,
five, six,
strong
six.
Arms, athletic legs.
Yeah, because they and very similar success. Actually, Milton probably has better success.
Yeah. Explain to me that. How'd that work? Like, what did Anthony Richardson do to, like, show?
We're going to come back to this in a couple years, and we're going to be like, damn, Steve. Why are you?
No, it's not me. I saw this somewhere.
But
they were making a comparison, and like since I've seen it, you and I haven't done a show, and I like really wanted to think. I thought like I saw it and I read the article, and like I was like, they're the same guy. They're exactly the same guy.
I mean, it's a very, very solid
comparison. As far as coming out of college.
Hell, Milton had a better career. They both started 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust 1 year starters in college going to the pros.
No, I
got it. I don't name me one that's been successful.
1 year starters?
I mean, I can name one in major college, but he was a highly touted recruit and he won two national championships.
Tom Brady?
College. No. Cam.
Cam
was a 1 year starter at Auburn.
Right, yes.
But like
he was at Florida, then he went to community college.
He was a 2-time national champ at whatever junior college he went to.
No, he won. Yeah. He won wherever he was. No, Cam's a good one.
But I mean, I don't name me one other one that played 1 year in college and was successful.
Tom Brady.
I mean,
but he was a late draft pick. I know. I just love throwing that one out there because he's
the answer to every like quarterback. I know. Question.
He's the 4-foot chicken of everything. Though.
Yes. He's the one guy that like. I'm still trying to figure out how the state of California, like how he ended up in Michigan.
Yeah.
You're telling me Cal didn't want him?
USC?
Well, I mean, I could see US. Well, I mean.
Why?
I don't know.
But let's be real. He wasn't that great in college.
No, he wasn't.
No.
He came into the NFL with a freaking chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he just got matched up with the right coach.
Yeah, a Hall of Fame coach.
Oh, they're Hall of Famers because of one another.
Oh, I agree with that. 100%.
Because of one 100%.
Another. 100%.
And like, you know, you make all these comparisons. Oh, well, Belichick's only this and this without Brady, blah, 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 blah.
Well, most of it is all with him. And let's say Tom Brady doesn't win the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Do we still talk about him? Like, do we still talk about Belichick needed Brady more than Brady needed Belichick?
No. I personally think they needed each other. I personally think Tampa was a quarterback away.
Exactly. He went to a good scenario.
Yes.
And that's the thing, though. He got to pick where he went.
Yes.
He got to make that decision. He knew, and Tom Brady's a smart fucking dude. We know this, and that's why he went there.
Yep.
Yeah. Simple.
But, I mean, anyway, back to the draft stuff. The whole Joe Milton Anthony Richardson comparison, when I read it, I'm like, they are the same dude. What's the difference?
Yeah, and why is it? Well,
actually, I think Milton has a stronger arm.
That's a he's
his accuracy is a little suspect.
Richardson, so was Anthony Richardson. I wouldn't be surprised if someone took a risk on this guy in the third or fourth round, knowing that he's a late round pick. Looking at the size of the guy, the success on field in the best conference in football.
Well, I
wouldn't be shocked to see him come off the board earlier than a sixth or seventh round, a third day pick.
I was shocked.
Well, what third day? Fifth, sixth, seventh.
Yeah. I liked the Lions taking Hendon Hooker last year.
Solid. Because you got a guy that's not going to be around for more than, what, 3 more years, 4 more years?
Now, unless he Goff stays healthy.
But Goff has been balling. And healthy.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that stayed healthy. He might have another 5 to 6 in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you look at the guy that was picked right after him. He signed with the Chiefs. Is that it?
Who?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. He's going to be the Chiefs backup. He's got the best job in football.
Yeah, he does.
Dude, I saw an article. Who was it?
The thing is, though, if Mahomes does get hurt, how exposed is Wentz going to be?
I got a better one.
He has nobody to throw to.
I don't want to say it would be bad if Mahomes got hurt because it would be horrible for them. But at the same time,
I mean, I ain't going to be mad.
You imagine them having like a top 3 or 4 pick? knowing you got like Mahomes coming back.
Oh yeah, God, that would be awful. I don't think they would be that bad because that defense is good.
You know what I would like to see, and you're going to hate me when I say this.
Okay.
What if they did something crazy and traded up and like drafted like Brock Bowers?
I mean, what, Travis Kelce is 33?
Yeah.
34? I mean, that's what a lot of people have been saying the Birds were going to do this year is go Brock Bowers.
I did. But I love that guy.
I love him. I do. I just think, I don't know if that's the piece we need.
I love but it.
There, we're also talking about, you know, if there's a good offensive lineman.
If I'm the Chargers and somebody wants. If somebody wants my number five, they can like trade with the Vikings.
Go back to 10.
Get 11. Get 20 something. I'm fine with that. And then you take Bowers.
Bowers is gone before 12.
Maybe.
I guess you got to look at the lay of the land
seeing the Jets drafting him. Like, why did the Jets want him?
No. Who is the tight end there now?
I don't think. Probably one of the Green Bay Packers, probably ex tight ends, if you want to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, he did take his tight end with him last year.
Who, right? Runyon?
Yeah. Wasn't Runyon a Jet last year?
Maybe.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't care about the Jets. I hope Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles again.
In three snaps?
It can be two and a half this time. I don't care. I don't care.
Someone's big mad.
God, dude. What is it about Green Bay Packer quarterbacks and becoming head cases in their 30s?
It must be up there in the air.
It must be, bro. Must be. Must be. And the Jets were all about, yeah, we'll take that head case.
Speaking of the Packers, because we haven't talked about them yet.
What's up?
Brazil.
Oh, I know.
Game one of the year.
Yeah.
Birds and Packers.
Yeah. I guess we're going to be hanging out and drinking. And
yeah, because we ain't affording a trip to Brazil.
No.
And I don't want to get stabbed.
One of us is going to be really happy at the end of that night. One of us is going to be pretty mad. Sad.
This is what I hope for is a shootout, fun, like just a both teams should win kind of scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we just both look at each other and be like, that was a good game.
Dude,
I'm mad I lost. And, you know, I'm mad you're happy you won or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I am I said it last year that I wasn't a big fan of Jordan Love. I still think what they did is they ran the ball really well and they protected him. Did he play fantastic? I thought he played wonderful. It took me a while to get used to it. Like that early streak where it looked a little rough for them.
It was kind of the same with Aaron Rodgers. He didn't come out balling.
But Jordan Love looked fantastic by the end of the year. And
I mean, just the balls on that guy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
They probably should have beat San Fran.
Yeah, really, they should have.
Probably should.
I'm just glad they got lit down again.
But
God, I hate the Niners.
It just, you know, it is what it is. But like, I'm leaning towards being in on it.
Yeah, you should be. Why would you not be?
I need to see it for I need to see more than the flash.
I get that. Like, if he comes out and he lays an egg against the Birds in the first game, and then they take a couple L's over the next few weeks.
That's
I would be fearful of that. I mean, also, it's kind of like the whole thing with Jalen Hurts this year. I mean, although we came out 10-1, but
I need to.
But it was by the skin of our teeth. We didn't blow anybody out except the Dolphins, which was weird. But we got to 10-1. With Jalen this year after a Super Bowl run, and we're like,
All right,
we got our quarterback. Things are great. And then it went,
I still think he was hurt or something just wasn't right.
He was definitely hurt.
Like, and there was a lot of things that went on. Like, you guys stopped running Swift so much. I don't know why that happened.
There were some changes that needed to happen, and hopefully the changes that were made this offseason will change all that. But, yeah, neither here nor that. I'm just saying I could see where you would feel like you want to see more because
I need to see more
because of what happened in the scenario of Philadelphia last year.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy to you, but we've seen it in Philly a couple of times over the last.
Oh, you saw it with Wentz.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's crazy. Like they, you just have that one good year. And then, I mean, an injury could change everything.
Injury changes everything.
Carson Wentz, it was in his head after the fact and it was over.
He went from MVP candidate.
I mean, no, he was MVP front runner, like clear head and shoulders above everybody else. This dude's winning the MVP.
And then
tore his ACL, which is like, oh, that sucks. What man was on a run? But after that, look at him.
Yeah.
My man is a journeyman at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad part
is, it sucks. It does. But I mean, I love Jalen Hurts. I'm a fan of Jalen Hurts. I think if anybody's going to turn shit around from last year, it's going to be Jalen Hurts. I'm still bought in on him.
I need Jalen Hurts to hand the ball to Saquon a little more, though.
You think? We didn't spit.
That's what I need.
Philly didn't spend that kind of money on a running back not to use him. Not that you know. Well,
they traded for Swift last year, and like it looked like, oh, yeah, we got it right. We're going to hand this dude the ball.
Well, that's what I
and always, then they stopped.
I mean, we could talk about this. I'll be
mad. You know I'm right.
I know you're right because I'm going to be mad. And we could go on another tangent, and we don't need that. But no, I will.
We don't need that.
Because my thing was you throw the bag at Swift. He's younger and has proven to stay healthier than Saquon.
Yeah.
And he had a better year than Saquon last year.
Yeah. And where does he end up? He ends up in Chicago. Where Chicago literally is trying to field, honestly, maybe fielding the best team I have ever seen for a rookie quarterback to step into. Legit, bro.
I mean, on the offensive side, yes.
On the offensive side, yes.
On the offensive side, yes. You're correct.
Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet. They've got Caleb Williams at freaking one. You know, would it surprise me if they went a wide receiver at 9?
Why not? Well, I wouldn't. I would go O-line.
O-line? Maybe some D help somewhere?
If there's it really comes down to like what shows up there for them.
Yeah.
Like, because there's, at 9, you've got can't miss prospects, you know?
I don't think he'll be there. But if Roma Duse is sitting there at 9.
That you pull the trigger there.
I am taking that dude.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Keelan Allen's not a spring chicken.
No.
You put that dude in the slot with Moore and Allen on the outside. Actually, you can move those guys all around. They could play wherever.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be. I mean, in terms of having weapons to throw to. Now, the thing is, he's got to remain upright.
Got to remain upright. You're 100% correct.
And Justin Fields was, I think, the fifth most rushed thrower in the league last year.
Yeah, that's probably right.
No, I looked it up earlier, so
that should be right around
the money there.
It was right. And if I had, I didn't look at this, but if I'm going to be right on this, I'm going to guess it was Sam Howell was number one or number two on that.
Sam Howell was number one. You are correct.
Yeah.
He had more rush pressured throws and quarterback hits than anybody else in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, to this day, still think Washington is crazy. They should have put an offensive line in front of him.
I think Sam Howell might turn.
I like him being in Seattle. I love it.
I think given the opportunity and
I love
it. He might make a lot of people in Washington shake their heads.
I love it. Yeah. I love him going to Seattle.
And I mean Washington, D.C., not the state that he moved to.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Actually, it could be both. They could be turned on their head because they're going to be excited.
The ones in Washington might be like, ones in D.C. would be like, no.
That's my whole point. It's just like.
But, hey, Redskins go Redskin.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's a different era in Washington.
No, they still the commodes. They had the commodes.
I'm just saying they've got better leadership at the top.
You
can't. Well, you're going to bag on one of your own owners.
I mean, I know he's that still pisses me off. But
I mean, they've got a better leadership group.
They do. I mean, but what I'm saying is, it was Dan Snyder. Like,
he's trash, bro.
I know. I was
one
like,
of the worst owners of all. It's.
I mean, he's worse than Jerry Jones. At least Jerry Jones puts somebody out there that's going to make you have some kind of hope.
In my lifetime, in ownership groups or owners across sports, as far as being the worst,
Daniel Snyder's number one.
Donald Sterling's number one.
Donald Sterling, yeah.
No, Donald Sterling was completely fine putting a shithole product out on the court.
You were absolutely right. No, I didn't think about it, but you're right. Even though he was a shithead.
Oh, he's a shitty person all the way around.
Yeah, he's an awful person. But I'm saying is that you were absolutely... No one... I didn't think about like the Clippers just being a fucking shit show for life.
Forever. Ever.
No, they have been ever. Yeah, forever. They were fine being second fiddle to
the Lakers
all day long.
And they were cool with it. Because you know why? They still had people coming to the games. They were still making money.
Because
he didn't care.
Because they got to play good teams in LA. Mm-hmm. So people were like, or especially like the transplants. Because LA, that's pretty much all LA is.
Yeah,
transplants.
Yeah.
So you got guys from New York. They're coming in to see the Knicks. They're coming to see the Nets. You got guys from Philly seeing the Sixers. You got people from Chicago. They're going to see the Bulls. All that kind of stuff is happening. And,
But it's Sterling and then it's Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
1-2. Easy.
And both shitty people on record, by the way.
Yeah. Both really shitty people in life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sports ownership, but in life.
In life, awful people.
And
probably not as awful as P. Diddy, but yeah.
Yeah, but he don't own a franchise, so he's never a big P. Diddy guy anyway.
Bad Boy Records.
Now we know why it's Bad Boy.
Oh, he's a bad boy, all right.
Ugh. I saw something this week.
What a gross dude.
Do you like that thing I sent you about Big E's eye?
Yeah, I've seen that before. Apparently, 50 Cent has always hated P. Diddy. And
he's been all over it, too.
Yeah, but he has. He's been aware of like what's happening and stuff.
Dude.
And so, but he's been doing it for years. Like 10 years ago, he posted something on Instagram of like, Diddy riding a bike? And 50 Cent commented, he's like, you know there's no seat on that bike.
Dude.
I died.
50 Cent gives no fucks.
I mean,
none.
If you've been shot 9 times and still living... I mean, you're
between that and him trying
you're living in with house money for the rest of your life.
Well, between that and him trying to do the LAS challenge with Floyd Mayweather, that he would donate $1 million to charity if he could read one page
that
of a Harry Potter book.
One of my favorite things ever. It was so good,
bro. It was just like, oh,
that was
damn.
Yeah, 50 will call some people out of the bullshit real fast.
He doesn't give a damn. Yes,
it is so funny. It's so
what's
funny.
Great, it's what else? 50 does it, and who else does it? Busta Rhymes does it. They credit like Eminem for like so much stuff, and anytime like somebody talks smack about him, they both like come to his defense like immediately.
Uh-oh, don't do that. Don't talk shit about
50
Eminem.
Cent,
he will bury you.
Or Busta Rhymes straight up like called somebody out on his own album about calling out Eminem.
Well, that's usually how they do it.
Yeah. No, I mean the person who called Eminem out. Buster was on his album and called him out about it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember who it was. I'll find the video for you though.
That would be good. I would need to see that one.
Dude, it was good. And I believe it, because Busta Rhymes don't care either.
He doesn't, no. But Busta is also swole as shit. Mm-hmm. Do you want to fight Busta Rhymes? Or 50 Cent, for that matter.
I ain't fighting either one of
them. No. I mean, look at Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's like 60 now. Still whoop somebody's ass.
I ain't fighting
Dude's
none
big
of them
as
fools.
Shit.
Ice Cube? Same way,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, Cube swole?
Ice Cube got soft. He did it in some movies.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
He's like, man, you going to pay me to do this? Sure. It's like The Rock. Dwayne Johnson's like, I'll be a tooth fairy. Shit.
Yeah, he don't care, bro. He don't care. You're going to give me $50 million? I'm in.
I'm a tooth fairy.
Well, dude, I was talking to my brother about money. We were talking about the LIV Golf Tour.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, Tiger Woods turned down like $800 million.
No, I remember. And then when they combined with the PGA, he's probably like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, and my brother and I were talking about it. He's like, oh, that's because he's loyal to this. And I'm like, well, Phil Mickelson got like $250 million for going and doing it. And I'm like, I'd have done it. I'd have been gone. I'd been like, deuces PGA.
Yeah, why not? I can't come back ever? Okay.
Cool.
$800 million? That's after his divorce.
Right.
He's like, I lost more than half a billion to my ex-wife.
And now I can have it back?
I can have it back?
And now all I got to do is come and play? I ain't even got to win?
Yeah. No, that's just me putting my name on the brand.
That's it.
That's all he had to do.
That's it. 800 million. He said,
I know. And he turned it down, and then they combined, and they're all playing together again.
Yeah.
I know Tiger Woods is kicking himself in his ass. He's like Happy Gilmore right now.
I'd have done it.
You catch me wearing this shit, I'd kick my own ass.
I would do it. I would have done it all day long.
Yeah. I don't care if offer people me think a million I'm a sellout dollars. At that point.
Offer me $1 million to go do another podcast. Dude, I'm out of here.
You and me both.
I'm out.
Fuck Steve.
That's it. We'll be friends next Sunday. He'll understand. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, money talks, bro.
You're right.
And it talks a lot to me, brother. Not.
It is facts.
Apparently it talks to Meek Mills, too.
Sorry, Meek.
In the wrong way.
I love Meek, man. I love Meek. He's a Philly guy, so it's tough. I hate it for him.
Didn't he have a song or an album called like Dreams and Nightmares?
That's like that was the theme for the Super Bowl 2017. But it was on the album was called Dreams and Nightmares. But the song is Dreams and Nightmares.
Hey, well, Dreams and Nightmares, bro.
Dude, that's dirty.
All right. It's not dirty. It's
NFL draft.
Yeah, NFL draft. Anyway.
Don't talk about my boy Meek.
Williams, Caleb's going first. That's a lock. It's happening. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. It sounds like the Skins are going to go Jaden Daniels. All right, Commanders. Sorry, my bad. And then New England.
You messed it up twice in a row. Actually, I'm always good with Skins because that's how I know them.
They're the Skins to me, bro.
They're Skins to me.
They're the rest, bro.
If I got called by their name, they're the Commodes.
I don't think they're going to be the Commanders, my song.
I think they're going to end up having to change it.
They're going to change it.
There's a petition by the Indian tribe.
Yeah, the Indian Council. One that changed back to the
changed
Redskins.
Changed back to the Redskins because of the logo was one of the chiefs.
Yeah.
Of a tribe that they were basically originally named after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it's disrespectful to remove him from that helmet.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't win for losing. You know who's most pissed about the Redskins name?
It was the woke white people.
Motherfucking white people.
Woke white people.
No Indians care. They're perfectly fine with it.
Dude, I wasn't watching the news. I was at a place where the news was on. And they were showing like these anti-Israel protests and stuff. And it was white people. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Like, I could see some Arab Muslims or something like that. I get that 100%. But when it's fucking white Scott from down the street, I don't get that at all.
Kyle Chatter over here. Yes.
It's Kyle and Connor. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
All right. We're getting political. We don't need to do that.
This is
a sports show, Steve.
I'm just saying. It was just funny to me.
Matt Miller compares Caleb Williams to Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I watched that man's ability to tune out everything around him, and he can't do it.
No.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks about him.
I saw an interview with Aaron this week, and his big advice that he put out there, he's like, if I could go back and tell my younger self one thing ever, I would have gone back and told myself that if you're not trying to get advice from this person, their opinion doesn't matter.
How smart is that?
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
I know.
He said, I only started doing this about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, thinking back, I was like, it's true.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, if you could tell a young guy that, absolutely. That is brilliant. Caleb, his physical tools are there.
I think that's the biggest obstacle he has to overcome. If there's an opportunity for Caleb Williams to be successful, is him becoming very strong minded and being able to tune out everything around him and be able to be coachable and listen to and be coachable. Yeah, that's really it. And tune out all the crap off the field.
Well, you've seen like his whole attitude with the whole draft process and everything.
Or his dad asking for ownership and teams. Like, come on,
dude. Marvin Harrison Jr. has kind of done the same thing.
You're not the next coming of a quarterback. Huh?
Marvin Harrison Jr. has kind of done the same thing.
His dad's not asking for ownership anywhere.
No, not for that. But as far as like how he's personally handling the whole draft process.
Oh, he's not doing
anything.
I wouldn't either. Because I sold myself on the field. My team, for the last 3 years, has been a national title contender.
I'm not. Just
and I have been the best wide receiver on a team full of NFL talent. Players.
Yeah.
And I've been the best one the last 2 of 3 years.
He has been one of the best wide receivers in a wide receiver room. Just the wide receiver room.
That's what I'm saying. For the last two or three years. Yeah, I know.
And, you know, I hate Ohio State.
We both do. But their
wide receiver room, crazy. Right now, they're wide receiver you.
Here's what's funny to me. NFL comparison for Marvin Harrison Jr., A.J. Green.
What?
Can't even beat my dad.
Can't even beat my Hall of Fame dad. I got to be A.J. Green. That's
All right, so does that mean Matt Miller's pro cops don't mean shit? The top two players in this draft, and he fucks them both.
Lord.
So Neighbors is the other one, right?
Neighbors, yeah.
Yeah, from LSU.
It's Neighbors and then Adunze the top three.
Somehow my shit just went out on me. It's fucked me all up.
But I personally... Me personally, I like Adunze. I watched him a lot more than I watched Neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, Washington was my only good pick the entire last year, so I got to see a lot of it. I'm still high on Michael Penix. I don't know how that guy is not.
What was it we saw the other day? Michael Penix is just basically... Crap, it was so funny.
Did I send it to you? Did you send it to me?
Yeah, you sent it to me. Or I might have sent it to you.
I'll look.
No, you sent it to me.
Let me look.
No, there was a good comparison, though. And you're like, oh, that is actually a pretty solid comparison.
Let me look.
I hate not being able to see the top of the screen.
Man.
I'm just going to quit.
Swear to God, if I see one more video of Orlowski farting, I'm going to lose it.
That is a funny one, though.
That is great, sir. That is great. Man, where is it? I know I probably sent it to you. I can't remember it.
It's a while back. That's all that matters.
Oh.
All right. See, like, Malik Neighbors has a good comparison.
Oh,
he's Jalen Waddle.
Jameis Winston without special needs.
Yes, that's it. Yours is a solid one. You sent it to me.
It was you. You sent it to me. You. That's a good one. Jalen Winston without lace, with good eyes.
with the right amount of chromosomes.
Yep. Jesus. Come on, don't be picking on next year's like top 10 pick.
We're a year ahead. But Jalen Waddle and Malik Neighbors, solid comparison.
I think that's very comparison.
Both incredibly quick.
Yep.
Great hands. I like it.
Well, who's Rome's comparison?
Let's find him. Damn, he's way down this list.
How's he down that list, bro?
I don't know.
Me personally, he's the number two wide receiver.
Oh, never mind. No, they say Neighbors is. He's the third one. Sorry. Adunze is Jamar Chase. Damn, which would make you a number one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If that was the ceiling, I'd take Jamar Chase over AJ Green.
Yeah.
They both played for the Bengals.
Yeah.
God knows. If that was my comparison, God, Marvin Harrison should be pissed.
My own son.
You don't compare me to AJ Green. I can't even be compared to my own dad.
He's bigger.
He is bigger than his dad.
He is bigger.
His dad will kill somebody, though.
Mm-hmm.
His dad lived that life.
Yes, sir. But that's what happened when you go to, where do you, he went to like Syracuse.
Yeah,
didn't he?
It was in the middle. Yeah. Damn, they got JJ McCarthy, number nine on the,
that's what I'm
on
saying.
The big
like,
board. And
how?
Guess what his pro comp is?
Who?
Jake Plummer. Oh, that's awful. If that's what the best I get out of the guy.
It's Jake Plummer.
And he's going to be my not. I'm going to pick him as the what he's number.
I like Jake Plummer, though.
But
Jake Plummer had moxie, bro.
But yeah, I get it. I get it.
No, look, speaking of which.
J.J. McCarthy on the television. Jay Daniels has probably the best comparison from Matt Miller. Lamar Jackson. And I agree.
Yeah, that's not terrible. That's not terrible.
Ooh. Now, if you told me I got Drake May as who his pro comp was.
Who is it? It ain't Tom Brady.
No.
Who is it?
No, he's a current player.
Current player. Justin Herbert.
There you go. Good call, sir. Yep, exactly. But yeah, 6'4", 2.
That's same body
pounds,
type.
Same body type, same arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be good with that.
Hell yeah.
I'd be good with that. I just don't want him in. I don't know. I say I don't want him to end up in New England, but like New England did Matt Jones dirty. They did him dirty.
I agree.
They put a special teams and a former defensive coordinator as his like
offensive play caller.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're right.
With no weapons.
If I'm Brock Bowers, I'd be real pissed that I was not compared to as Jason Kelce, though.
And you mean Travis?
Or Travis, sorry.
Who's this comparison?
George Kittle, which is not awful, but...
It's not awful.
But, I mean, you want to talk about one of the top tight ends to ever do it.
I mean,
in Brock Bowers' body, he's 6'3", 243. That is Travis Kelce.
Yeah. I love Bowers.
No, I do too.
Love that kid.
We've been in love with the dude for the last 2 years.
God, dude.
We thought he was the best football player last year.
Yeah.
Not this past year, but the one prior. We were like, this guy is
legit. He's legit. When you're at Georgia and you know he's got stud wide receivers there, it ain't like he's playing with scrap and you're still their leading receiver.
It means so much, dude.
I mean, God, dude, he's nice.
Yeah.
He's going to be this year's, he's easily this year's Sam Laporta. Easily.
Oh, yeah. That's no
easily.
Question.
Barring injury. Well, depending on where he ends up, too. If you're not trying to get that kid the ball, you're crazy.
Brock Bowers is going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy football draft, like, he's probably the third tight end off the board.
You're gonna get Kelce.
Kelce,
you're gonna get Kittle. You're gonna get Laporta. You're probably gonna get those three, and then you're probably gonna get
You'll have Dallas Goedert. You'll have
who's Minnesota guy? They traded him.
Hawkinson.
Yeah. But a lot of it depends on their quarterback.
Yeah, it does. It depends on where they do with this draft. A lot's going to – this is what – it's going to – God, our podcasts are going to be so good going forward after this draft.
That – honestly, that's where I want Drake May to go.
That's a good spot. That's a really good spot for him because in a comparison form, like Justin Herbert – I get it because he's a little bit more mobile and Drake May can do those things. But like for that, the accuracy that Drake May has is very on par with Kirk Cousins.
I would love to see
that
him
kind
in
of composure too. Like Kirk Cousins, it's so weird. I could see that being like his top end level. Like if he could be anybody, I'd be Kirk Cousins
I would
over
take
Justin
Kirk,
Herbert.
I would take Kirk Cousins' career. I would take his money earned. I would take Cousins'
say career alone.
Alone, yeah.
Because it's not his fault. His team sucked.
Dude,
but I mean, this podcast is a huge supporter of Kirk Cousins.
We are. As weird as it sounds.
We love some Kirk Cousins.
We like the dad white guys.
Yes, we do.
I love him in Atlanta, dude.
That's going to be,
him in Atlanta, bro.
New coaching staff and the weapons he had. Bijan, I might draft him again.
Bijan, Kyle Pitts.
Because
you know Cousins likes his tight ends.
He loves tight ends. And then
London.
Drake London's going to have a year.
Let Atlanta draft another offensive weapon on top of that, too.
That's what they need to do. But I'm saying, take.
Where's Atlanta draft?
I'm trying to pull up that thing, but my fucking computer's acting all weird over here.
Hang on.
I got the draft pulled up. It's just like my third screen died on me.
Yeah. And it ain't working right.
Let's tap it. See if it works. Nope. It is dead.
Where is Atlanta? Where's the order? That's what I want to see. I want to see the draft order.
That's what I was trying to do. Here we go. Atlanta will be picking number 8. Right ahead of the Bears' second pick.
Let Rome go there.
That's a good spot.
That would be sick. So the Atlanta defense is good.
Chargers are going to stay pat at 5, right?
I think if any team moves, I think they're the one that's moved.
They can move because they can afford to move. But they can move. Yeah, Arizona's going Harvin Marison Jr., right?
I would think so, unless somebody says, hey, we want that pick.
But they can
and
move.
Some something crazy.
Because the top 3 are going quarterback.
Yeah, it's
going
to be quarterback. It's going to be who feels crazy enough to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. That's what it's going to be.
And then you got to go to 4 or 5.
My thing is, if the Giants really are thinking quarterback,
I'd sit
Do the Giants move up?
No, I'd sit pat. I'm at 6.
Yeah, but you're thinking.
To me. Because I'm never, and I've talked about it before, I never fall in love with the quarterback and then risk my future on it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You got teams that need quarterbacks.
The top 3 do.
You telling me
Titans?
Las Vegas is cool with Gardner? That's their answer?
Oh, no. If they have the assets to move up, they would.
You're thinking...
But they're sitting at 13.
You think Denver's good with Zach Wilson?
Apparently. They just traded for him today.
All right. Whatever, bro. Whatever. I don't care. They ain't good with that. Who else? I think Tennessee is going to hold pat. I think they're going to give Levis a run.
They should.
They're going to give Levis a run. What Levis needs is an offensive line or some weapons. Especially at that running back position now. Even though they did sign Tony Pollard. Trash.
I mean, do you not
trash?
Think they are trash. Think about how about the Steelers being an interesting mover.
I like the Steelers trading for Justin Fields. I love that move.
I mean, why not?
Love that move.
I think he's Fields in a position. In the right system is going to do fine.
I think Fields played great at the end of last year,
but
looked fantastic.
Yeah,
like once they change offensive coordinators, Fields looked good last year at the end. I said it the entire time. They should have kept Fields and traded that number one pick. They could have got a gold mine for that.
That's
pick.
What we were talking about, though.
If you're not going up to number one, you're not. I think.
Well,
it's
I don't think.
I don't think McCarthy's that great. I mean, I could be wrong. But I don't think...
Why are you going to go to one, though? You don't have to go to one to get McCarthy.
No, you don't. But any one of those teams that I said, if they think McCarthy's the guy, they've got to go in front of the Giants. They have to.
They have to go up above six. I agree with that. That means you got to trade with four or five.
So at this point, if the Giants really want him.
McCarthy seems like a New England guy. I see that as being.
Honestly, I'd rather McCarthy go there. I want to see. I think Minnesota's going up. I think Minnesota, I think them posturing for that second first round pick mm-hmm. was them trying to get ready to make a move to go up and get somebody. And honestly, I think if Drake May is still available at four or at five, they go get him.
Yeah.
They go get him. I don't think he will. I think May's going to end up in New England. I would prefer him to be in Minnesota, but I mean, I just think there's more to work with there.
Obviously, you talk about Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson, Hockenson.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, you're talking about
Addison,
the top wide receiver in the fucking league.
I'm just saying, even without him, they still got Addison and Hockenson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What they don't have is a running game.
How about those Cowboys? They're going to trade up, right? They don't want a fucking, they need a quarterback.
They ain't trading up, bro. They're going to stay pat.
They didn't extend their quarterback.
Here's the thing. You know who their quarterback's going to be at next year? The quarterback's going to be Dak Prescott. They're not going anywhere.
We know this. It was a joke.
I know. But me personally, if I'm Dak, I'd be like, I would test the waters because they can't franchise tag him. That's in his contract now.
No, I know that. Yeah.
Make him pay for it.
That's a good
make
point.
Them pay
well, that's
for
what
it.
That's the risk that you know Jerry Jones is running this year is what if he comes out and has they make I mean I know this is silly and it's fucking stupid but let's say they make the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, now you're really screwed up because yeah. Now you got to pay him as like
because look at this scenario. New England trade the third pick.
Yeah.
Get three first rounders.
Yeah. Rebuild.
Retool. You have more cap space than anybody else.
Yeah.
You're going to carry some of your cap space this year.
Today. I know. I sent you that thing. I know where you're coming at. I know where you're going. I sent it to you.
No, you didn't. I saw it myself. But I was going to act like I made it up. But now you're discrediting the entire podcast, Steve. Anyways. Patriots. Just load up with picks by trading back on this third.
Yeah. I like it.
Build a completely rebuild in every aspect of the game but quarterback.
Yep. Roll out there with Bailey Zappe.
Roll out with Zappe. Somebody wants to come in off the streets, pick them up, free agency. Or, you know, there's guys on the bench in other places you can trade for.
Tannehill.
Tannehill's one of them. Go that route. And then next year, even if you suck this year, you're going to have a top pick. You're going to have a top pick somewhere.
Yeah.
Because whoever's trading is not going to be good next year either.
Nope.
Unless it's Minnesota, probably. Minnesota could be okay next year.
Minnesota could be okay next year.
But you talk about a team like that's going to trade up for a quarterback like... Maybe if the Giants get kind of worried about something, Broncos, Oakland. Yeah. I mean, things could get a little wonky with that, but yeah, doesn't matter. You're going to probably have a good team. Or, I mean, a good pick, not a good team. You're going to be able to build around a guy because of all this money you're going to be able to offer Dak Prescott in the offseason next year. And when you're going to offer him money Dallas can't match,
yeah.
And you're going to offer him younger, better talent.
Yeah.
and a future that's going to be more successful because of the amount of equity that you've built in the draft.
Yep.
Go that route.
I mean,
if I'm the Patriots, I'm selling out on this idea.
I've got one even better for you than that.
Okay.
Along the same lines for the Patriots.
Okay.
Trade out of three.
What if Arizona could do the same thing?
Trade out of three.
Okay.
Take Michael Penix in the second round. You got the second pick in the second round.
Ooh, that's good.
And you've got the equity you just took because you're going to get multiple first round picks for that number three spot.
And build on Michael Penix?
Yeah.
And you'll have the cap space to get free agents.
Then you're working on a rookie deal. That's good. No, it just came to me. I was looking. I was like, where are they picking the second round? And then I saw they have the second pick in the second round.
That's good.
Penix should still be there.
He could be.
If you don't think he can be or will be, move up late first and get him.
Well, you'll have the equity.
You've got the equity for what you just traded.
Yeah. Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad. There's a lot of scenarios that would play out in the Patriots' favor right now. I mean, the Cardinals are in a similar situation. You could trade back.
The Cardinals, here's the thing.
You're not going to have the cap space to get it. But I'm going more based on your scenario mine. You'd go the Michael Penix route, and you got a guy behind Kyler Murray that you could ultimately start eventually on a rookie deal, be able to cut Kyler Murray and save a little bit of money.
You could trade Kyler Murray.
You could trade him. I mean, you're going to have to pay him. There's nobody that's going to give up that kind of money for Kyler Murray. They're not going to pay him that. You're going to have to eat that contract.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is paying Kyler Murray
no.
the money that Arizona gave him. Like, it's – I mean, I could be 100% wrong. I don't think anybody would. I can't see a scenario that, like, Oakland would be willing to trade for Kyler Murray. I don't see the scenario where Denver would be willing to trade for Kyler Murray.
No, sir.
I don't see a scenario where Tennessee would be willing to trade for Kyler Murray.
No.
I don't see a scenario where Minnesota would trade for Kyler
Murray. Honestly, Kyler Murray, I would trade if I'm trading him for him if I'm only giving him so much over the remainder of the deal.
Yeah.
You got to be taking on the majority of that contract.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And then I'll eat some of the contract if we make it performance base, you know,
or conditional picks.
Conditional picks or performance base.
Yep.
And you can do either one, and then I'll eat this amount of the contract if he gets us to the playoffs. I'll eat this amount of the contract if he gets us to a conference championship game. That kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, New England's
it's got to be performance based. Otherwise, it's saying, I'm not eating this big-ass contract that y'all were dumb enough to sign. It's not happening.
Well, New England's already came out and said they're open.
Of course they're open.
They are open for business.
Why would they be?
I mean, do they need a quarterback? Absolutely. But if you can get...
But we've already discussed like these kind of options. I mean, if...
If you can get multiple first-round picks
for your pick... I feel like I need to be a GM right now for them. I would kill this draft.
I would take, if you give me any of the top three picks, I could take them. I could do it.
Yeah.
Again, I would be cool about Penix. If I was Washington has the fourth pick in the second round.
Yeah.
And you could get, they got the fourth and the 40th. They got pick 36 and pick 40. I mean, Washington had like six picks in the top 100. The
funny thing about this is there's a guy named Milton that we talked about at the top of this episode. And it's like, why not?
I mean, I've seen worse quarterbacks start in the NFL.
I agree with you. I mean, but you're talking about a guy that went top five last year, and it's basically the same guy.
It's the same guy.
It is the same guy. You're absolutely right. I mean, I haven't put the comparison together before today, but like when you think about it, like
it's the same guy.
It's the same dude.
It's the same guy.
Does he have the same mental state? I don't know. That's like, I haven't looked that much into Milton at all because I didn't think of him as a guy that was going to be.
Milton has a little bit of an accuracy problem, but if you feel like you can fix that, if you can teach that guy how to check down instead of trying to throw it through the end zone every time.
I mean, I think that was a lot of the way Tennessee played too.
Though. Yeah. Yeah, that's Josh Heupel's offense.
He was a big play guy. That's why Hyatt was so successful the year before.
You mean Hooker?
Hyatt was successful because the bombs went to him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. But Hendon Hooker was successful as well, but he had a guy like Hyatt. Milton doesn't have a guy like Hyatt on his team.
Question. Could you wrangle one of these picks and turn it into Hendon Hooker?
I bet Hendon Hooker could be taken for a third round pick.
Second at most?
Yeah. Well, he went third round last year.
Right. Yeah. The reason he probably didn't go higher is because he's coming off an ACL and not playing.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I love Detroit picking him. I don't think he's starting. I think Goff is still their guy, and he's going to be their guy for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but we even talked about it being another 5 years even. As long as Goff keeps up the health history, he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a guy like Hendon Hooker, why not? He's already got a year under his belt in the pros. He's completely healthy. He didn't take a snap this year, I don't think.
He didn't take a snap.
Yeah.
Completely healthy.
ACLs are a dime a dozen in this league.
Yeah, it's not. I can remember growing up as a kid. If you tore an ACL, an MCL, if you did any kind of knee tear, you were done.
Yeah, it was rough.
You were done.
But now.
I mean, now look at prime example. Look at Frank Gore.
Frank Gore, good guy. That's a good one. Adrian Peterson.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it ain't what it used to be.
No, it's not. I mean, it ain't nothing like it used to be. ACLs are, like I said, a dime a dozen. Yeah. People rip those things apart every day.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, every day. The only one I'm really worried about, I'm not sure how Nick Chubb's coming back this year.
We could talk about Sam Howell. What do you think he could be had for?
I think he's going nowhere. I think he's going to be Seattle starter.
Not this year. He's not starting
before week six.
Okay. He ain't. Not with that money that's there.
Dude, if he comes in and wows them training camp.
Well, he's going to have weapons he's never had before.
Absolutely. He's going to have a little bit better line.
You have a better line. Well, that's obvious.
A little bit better running game.
Running game's hit or miss there. But
he had no wide receivers like Lockett.
Lockett and Scary Terry are similar.
He had no DK Metcalf. No, DK Metcalf.
He's not had DK.
I mean, Metcalf.
And had two wide receivers.
Scary Terry and Curtis Samuels aren't Lockett and Metcalf.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, would I trade TJ Lockett for Scary Terry in a heartbeat? I would even be hard pressed to trade DK Metcalf for Scary Terry. I hate the skin so much, but Scary Terry's so good.
He's good.
It's so crazy he hasn't forced himself out of that situation.
Dude.
They love him there, bro. I understand they love him. Why does he love it?
Because I would be tired of fucking losing. I would get tired of losing. I get it. I would be
so done losing.
I like the win, but you know what? Somebody wants to pay me $100 million to lose. Guess what? I'll sit there and lose too.
Man, get it.
Somebody's got to pay somebody.
Someone's going to pay him $100 million to win.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I'm not saying that he's not going to make the $100 million. I'm saying just because you get signed for $100 million.
Tell me a team like the Patriots wouldn't like to have Scary Terry.
Oh, they'd love that guy.
Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals would love him.
Even better. The Chargers right now would probably love to have him.
The Chargers would love to have him.
New York Giants.
Yeah, but you're still paying him $100 million to lose.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing. But you're still paying him to lose. That's the whole thing. $100 million. Somebody's got to make $100 million to lose.
I mean, you're right.
I mean, there are guys out there.
I know what you're saying, but that's DeAndre Hopkins. He's got you.
That's the guy. That dude could have played anywhere he wanted, and he chose to go to Tennessee and lose.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play with Derrick Henry. You know what? We're both going to lose. That's the scary one, is I am absolutely terrified to see how good Baltimore is going to be next year.
Yeah. So who do you think Packers are going to roll with in the draft this year? They got the 25th pick.
I hope they take the corner from Iowa.
The white guy?
I do. He's good.
See, I liked him for the Eagles too. So that'd be interesting to see come Thursday.
What I really would like, they have to go defensive side of the ball. Period. I'd really like to see him get a linebacker. Edge rusher would probably be really good.
I would love linebacker. We just don't do that in the first round to Philly.
I think the Packers have a lot of, like, I think their needs are on the defensive side. They've went offensive side so heavy.
Yeah.
Last couple of years. And it's not that it's paying off now.
Yeah.
I mean, they have what, the second youngest team or the first youngest team?
They had the youngest team in the playoffs.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're trending in the right direction. So, I mean, I need more defense.
Yeah.
That's what I need. I'd be fine with several different. I'd be all over. I'd be cool with Wiggins from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be cool with Newton from Illinois. I'd be cool with.
They're thinking Cooper DeJean or whatever you go by.
Yeah.
Is going to come off the board earlier.
Yeah. He is that guy that's 15 to 25. Depending on what you really want.
I'd be shocked to see him make it past Philly, to be honest with you.
Chops Robinson from Penn State, I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
I mean,
have you thought about, like, Wiggins from Clemson?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said Wiggins.
You did say Wiggins? Okay, yeah. My bad. Didn't hear that part.
Yeah. They need defense. They need defense.
Ooh, another guy that should be up there is Kool-Aid from Alabama.
Kool-Aid wouldn't be bad.
No, he's a good dude. He's just been around forever, you know, and he was good young. He's been good since, and he's been very consistent. So he'd be a good one that I feel like is going to be successful at the next level because of how well he's done it and progressed each year.
How about this one? How about Peyton Wilson from State?
Okay. No, that's not a bad one.
I mean, good linebacker.
Yeah.
Great sideline to sideline.
Was he like the third linebacker on
the
list?
They have him, according to ESPN, they have him ranked 35th.
But I meant like in terms of linebacker.
Linebackers.
I think he's like a top in outside linebacker.
Yeah.
But he's not an edge rusher by any means, but he's more of a coverage guy.
Let's see. Is he a linebacker, inside linebacker, or outside?
He's outside linebacker.
He is the number one linebacker prospect.
Nice.
If you go by just linebacker.
Yeah. But then you got to look at edge rusher. You got to look at outside linebacker.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You go to the linebacker. Inside linebacker, they don't even have it listed. He is the number one linebacker.
Oh, nice. Well, what do you think about like an edge rusher? Because they can kind of go back and forth.
I'd be completely.
But Dallas Turner's going to go.
Dallas Turner is going to be gone way early.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the kid's name from UCLA. Latu. Yeah. He's good.
I've heard Chop Robinson from Chop Penn
Robinson
State,
and Penn State's
would be
good.
A big Philly guy. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, that that kind of stuff.
He has that Josh Sweat comparison. But I'm telling you, Dallas Turner, if you could get a guy like him.
He's probably going to be the first defensive guy off the board.
He's so good.
I mean,
he's stupid good.
I mean, if you want that guy, that's the guy to go get.
Yeah.
That's the one. Jared Verse is pretty nice out of Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. But I need defensive side of the ball for my guys in the first.
Yeah.
And I think you're the same way. I think we're actually looking for kind of the same guy.
Pretty much, because you want that kind of depth.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about the Eagles anyway, the offense seems pretty set, right?
Yeah, they're all your offense is good.
You got two wide receivers that are phenomenal.
Yeah.
You got a tight end in Dallas Goedert that is top five, top six in the league.
Yeah.
You got a running back that can, when healthy, is top five in the league.
You got a and running a back when healthy could it be the
best running back. Yeah, especially with an offensive line that he's about to play behind. And then you got a quarterback that's proven to be one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
You know,
we've seen the potential of it.
Yeah, the potential's there. And, I mean, I honestly, the only question mark when it comes down to the Birds this year on offense is going to be the center.
I think they're going to be just fine.
Replacing a Jason Kelce.
Replacing a Hall of Famer is a hard thing to do.
The best of the best, the GOAT of the position.
Replacing it, like, and what's that crazy is how much he, like, I'm not that. I'm not that.
But
I'm
he
not
knows
bro,
he is.
Bro, he is, bro.
Everybody models their game after him.
He is.
And it's because of how he swings out and makes these blocks at the next level. And he made the running game that much better. I know there's part of him that is begging his wife to come back and play football so he could block for Saquon Barkley.
He wants too bad. You saw this whole thing where Saquon was like trying to get him to come back.
I know.
Which was awesome.
Hey, it ain't summertime yet. I'm not going to hold. I'll still hold my breath a little bit.
I hold your breath. I don't think he's coming.
I don't think so. No, because the retirement speech
was awesome.
And it lets you know, like, he was very serious about the decision he made.
I thought it was hilarious and fantastic now, all at the same time that he went out with his feet all taped up because the trainer wasn't able to be at the Super Bowl due to, like, he had, like, a cancer treatment.
It was a cancer treatment.
And, like... He's like, I just want you to do it one more time. Because he'd been the only trainer he dealt with the entire time.
I know.
And he couldn't be there for the Super Bowl.
But Jason Kelce's just that kind of guy.
Dude, I'm not a Birds fan at all. But there is nothing about that guy that you can hate.
Kate has one jersey.
And it's his?
It's his.
I like it.
But that was one thing that would never change, you know, is he will be a lifelong Eagle. He will be an all-time great.
Yeah.
And regardless of whenever she wears that jersey, it'll be respected.
Dude.
I have a bunch of jerseys. I can't tell, like, I had a Michael Vick jersey. Which, I mean, granted, that's not bad. It's not bad. Let's see. I have Carson Wentz jersey. Ugh, I know, right? Let's see. I had a bunch of jerseys that just they didn't pan out. Trying to think of some.
I have never owned a football jersey.
That's crazy to me.
There's something about owning a jersey that weirds me out.
I get it.
I don't know what it is.
For game day, man.
They're perfect. See, I'm a sports t-shirt guy all day long.
Yeah, you're right, right, right.
No, but like, there's something about jerseys just really? Like,
I'm not a big fan of them.
I have one jersey in my house. It's my kid's.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a Brett Favre jersey.
That's not a bad
one. Yeah, well, I send her home in it to her mom and stepdad because he's a Cowboys fan.
Shitty Cowboys fan.
That's it. I send her home in that all the time.
Piece of shit.
And I get it back all the time. Because she's like, oh, well, when I'm here, I pull for your team. But when I'm there, I pull for these. No, you pull for this team all the time.
You can never pull for the Cowboys, dear.
That's it.
She needs an Eagles jersey to wear over there. I got her.
We may do it. We may do it just for that one.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, it's that kind of pettiness. That's where I'm at with
it. I'm with you. I'm in for the pettiness. I will get Taylor a jersey right now.
Dude, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
Ooh, maybe a T.O. jersey just because they would really hate it.
Send her there with a T.O. jersey and a star rug.
Yeah, hell yeah. With a dirty shit stain on it. Like, Lord, she scooted her ass on it.
The pettiness is getting deep.
It does get deep. Fuck Dallas, deep. Man. I will talk about that shit all day.
It's getting deep. But no, like, dude, there's so many things that could happen in the draft. I mean, God, dude, I would love to see Drake May in fucking Minnesota.
No, I get it.
That would make me so fucking happy.
He's a perfect replacement for Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, but can they get there? That's the question.
They're going to have to trade up to get there for sure.
New England's already said they're open for business. Like, if you can get the three, you can get him.
Well, of course.
Maybe. Depending on whether or not.
I mean, I've already said my favorite quarterback in this draft is Jaden Daniels. I would go Jaden Daniels number one overall if it was me making the pick.
I'm not.
I even think Drake May might be number two.
But
it depends. I think Drake May could end up in that Sam Howell situation, and it would be awful.
I didn't realize Caleb Williams was only 6'1".
Yeah, he's not huge.
Mm. You know how I feel about the little quarterbacks.
He's not little. 6'1", small. Tall. In comparison to other quarterbacks, no. Malik Nabers is only 6. Or wait, I said Nabers, sorry. I meant Jaden Daniels is only 6'2". Or no, he's 6'4". Excuse me. Damn, I should have turned the mic off, but whatever.
Aaron Rodgers. AJ,
JJ McCarthy, 6'3".
How big's Penix?
Penix is tall, right? He's like 6'5", if I'm not mistaken. Well, if it ever load. But you also have Bo Nix. Bo Nix, 6'2".
Penix is 6'2".
Penix is 6'2"? Okay, I thought he was taller than that. You got Spencer Rattler that's in this draft. He's only 6 foot.
How about this? I know this sounds really crazy. I'm going way off the deep end on
that. Do not talk about Devin Leary.
I am not going to talk about Devin Leary. Who I'm going to talk about is Sam Hartman.
Which is funny to me, though, real fast. Devin Leary is rated over Joe Milton.
I see that. See that.
Sam Hartman's fuck Notre Dame.
Sam Hartman played his ass off. I don't care what he did at Notre Dame. Look what he did at Wake Forest. That's what I'm saying.
I get it.
How about you could potentially get a Jordan Travis as an unsigned free agent, as an undrafted free agent?
It's pretty impressive. That's Jack Plummer Jake Plummer's son?
No. Okay. I think we looked that up, and it's not. Because I had that same question.
Tua's little brother's only 5'11". That makes sense.
Well, who the hell wants a 5'11 quarterback? Get the hell out of here. Nobody wants that shit. Well, I don't want it. If I'm a GM, I don't want it.
No, I get you.
Michael Penix comp is Tua.
No.
Let's see who Tua's brother's comp is.
His brother comp?
Oh, there's no comp.
Oh, he doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one. All right.
That would have been cool.
Sam Hartman doesn't have a comp either. Let's see if Joe Milton has a comp.
I don't think they do comps for anybody below top five, right? Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, nope. Spencer Rattler does at 7. Zach Wilson. Whoops.
Oops.
I'd be mad.
Oopsie.
What was Bo Nix comp? Dak Prescott? Oh, man. If I'm Bo Nix, I'd be pissed.
That's who Dallas is drafting in the first round.
We got our quarterback.
That's who they're going to take in the late first round. It's going to be Bo Nix. What's that? I like Bo Nix. The Bo Nix I saw at Auburn, the Bo Nix I saw at Oregon was two different guys, bro.
That's true.
But at the same time, like, two different offenses. You're talking about a freshman in the SEC, too. Crazy. Crazy.
Very much so.
I can't believe his comp is Dak Prescott. That's hilarious. Hilarious.
Well, we got the draft coming up Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to cover college basketball.
We're going to do a show on Thursday. We're going to do a draft show.
We got
show.
Some baseball to cover, and, you know, it's been a while, so we want to catch up on shit. We talked about everything. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, somewhere around there. We'll catch you up on the draft, the latest. Hopefully Thursday. If not, it's cool. We'll hit you up on Friday or Saturday with a new episode. We're back in business as normal. Back to usual airing expectations from the boys.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Ferda. For the Letterkenny fans out there.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Ferda!
Man. Larry is really the 10th quarterback prospect?
Yeah, man. It's crazy. I know.
Milton, 6'5", 235.
You're still going to talk about that when I'm trying to close out this episode?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just looking.
But anyways, we will get back at you probably in the next 4, 5, 6 days. Today's Monday. So that means Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, 4, 5, 6 days.
I'm yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. We're going to wrap this one up. Be back.
Yes, sir. Later this week, some point.
Yep.
Boom.
Check out the NFL draft. We're not going to bring you an MLB preview. We will just end up hitting you up with MLB update eventually. And we'll hit you with some predictions on that probably in the next episode since we got just the draft to cover. But we will be balls deep into that draft.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we will.
But, man, it's been good to finally catch up. It's been a minute.
It has been a long minute, bro.
I did find a couple of ways to remote people in, so we're going to start that kind of stuff.
That's going
to
be cool.
We've invited our favorite guest and our only guest so far, Big Job Bob, back to hook it up with the NFL draft analysis with us.
He has responded.
He has. He's a decline.
He has declined.
Okay,
he will be at a track meet.
That's what I told you. I knew he'd be there. But shout out to Big Job Bob. We'll get you back on another time.
That's fine, man. No one wants to talk about the Cowboys anyway.
Well, their draft, yeah. How about their free agency? How'd that go?
Ooh.
Whoops. All right. Anyways, until next time, brother. It's been a good time.
Yes, sir.
Let's do this again in less than a week.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I'll see you.
Post-game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.